Please grab a seat. Good morning, everyone. This is like one of the only times in the year I get to do this, so I'm going to do it. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you. Oh, that was really great. We'll do that one more time. Good morning, everyone. I like the ones who added John. That was really a lovely personal touch. It's really good to be together like this as an all-age church family with children, parents, grandparents, and everyone in between. This morning, we're going to listen to God's word together as Matthew tells us the true story of the very first Christmas and why it matters to every one of us. So with that in mind, could you turn with me to Matthew chapter 1? We're going to read verses 18 to 25. They're on page 808 if you've got the church Bible. And I'm going to say a prayer to ask God for his help. Let's pray. Dear God, please help us to understand and to appreciate the true meaning of that very first Christmas. Please help us to see the Lord Jesus clearly, who he is and why he came. For we pray in his name. Amen. So let's read chapter 1 from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Be great if you kept that open in front of you as we're going to refer to it for the next wee while. Most of us, I hope, are looking forward to Christmas in a couple of days. Most of us start Christmas with some kind of plan. We have an idea of how it's meant to go, who we're going to see, what time we're going to wake up, Christmas dinner timings, what it will feel like, what will be special. And very often, at some point, that plan falls apart. A couple years ago, Hillary and I had what I thought was a brilliant Christmas plan. Christmas 2021, we were in Peru, which is where I was born. In my head, it was going to be perfect. Christmas in the sunshine, introductions to my family, relaxed meals, a slower Latin American pace of life. But it turned out to be not that. It was COVID back then, so traveling was really, really stressful. We had masks on the plane, that was horrible. Then once we got there, all of us got sick with food poisoning. I won't go into detail about that. We went to visit my granny, which should have been lovely, but it was 40 degree heat. Nobody could move. Hillary killed a chicken with her bare hands. You can ask her about that later. And Christmas Day was meant to be a small gathering, but it turned out to be 50 people. Oh my goodness, the catering stress. Some of my old school friends weren't the kindest, especially with Hillary not being able to speak Spanish. And just to round things off, we both got COVID on the flight home. It wasn't the Christmas that we had planned. I'm sure that if we went round the room right now and asked, has anyone ever had a Christmas that didn't turn out the way you imagined? I think every hand would go up. I'm looking at some of the grown-ups. They want to put both hands up. And what's striking in our reading is that the very first Christmas was a little bit like that too. We often picture it as really calm and cozy and perfectly arranged. But when Matthew tells the story of Jesus' birth, he doesn't begin with peace and quiet. He begins with a really messy situation. And he tells the story through the eyes of a man whose Christmas plans fell apart completely. Because Matthew tells us the story from Joseph's point of view. Now, Tim's going to help me right now. I've got a Christmas bag with me. And this Christmas bag, don't get too excited, it doesn't have any presents, but it's full of meaning. Because inside this Christmas bag is the true Christmas story. We're going to open it up little by little as Matthew tells us the story of Jesus' birth. So, we read that Joseph is engaged to Mary. Now, in their culture, that wasn't casual. It was really serious. It was a binding commitment. Plans had been made, a future was being imagined. And then Matthew told us in our reading, almost really bluntly, that before Joseph and Mary got married, Mary was found to be pregnant. And Matthew tells us straight away that the child is from the Holy Spirit. Now we know that as readers, but Joseph didn't. All he has is what he can see. And what he can see looks like heartbreak and confusion and just the collapse of everything he thought God was doing in his life. Now, Matthew's really careful to tell us something really important about Joseph. He is a just man. That means that he takes God really seriously and he cares about doing what is right. He could break up with Mary, make sure everyone knows that it wasn't his fault, but he doesn't. He doesn't want to put her to shame. Joseph is trying to be faithful, even if he doesn't understand what God is doing. He is doing the right thing as best as he can see, while everything looks so messy for him. And that's often what it feels like. Things can look fine on the outside, but once you start pulling at one thread, everything tangles, plans unravel, expectations disappoint, and you're left wondering, what on earth is God doing? On the outside, it can look neat enough, but inside, it's a mess. So, this is where Joseph is. Confusion, fear, all his plans are messed up. He's got lots of questions. It's a real mess. Nothing is explained. His life doesn't make sense anymore. It's really important to say this clearly at this point. Joseph's situation is genuinely painful, but it's not the deepest problem in the story. His confusion matters, but it's not the reason Jesus comes. The mess Joseph is facing helps us feel the story. But the mess Jesus comes to deal with runs much deeper. But here's the good news. God doesn't leave Joseph there. While Joseph is thinking these things through, an angel appears to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." Whenever I read that, I think of Mufasa's voice in The Lion King. I don't know why. God knows exactly how Joseph is feeling, and he reassures them. "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife," he says, "for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." In other words, this isn't a mistake. This is exactly how God intended it to happen. This is God at work in a way Joseph could never have imagined. Matthew doesn't explain exactly how it happens. He simply tells Joseph what he needs to know. This child is from God. This pregnancy is God's doing. And the God who made the world is now acting within it. And often that's how God works with us too. We wish God would explain absolutely everything in advance. But often God speaks just enough at just the right moment to call us to trust him. Joseph now knows something he didn't know before. God hasn't abandoned him. God is already at work. And what looked like such a mess that first Christmas is part of a much bigger plan. And that's why the angel's next words are so important. Can you spot them? They're there in verse 21 in your Bibles in front of you. The angel says to Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And Joseph doesn't get to choose the name. There's no discussion, no suggestions, no list of favorite names. I wonder who got to pick baby Isaac's name. Was it Evan or Emmy's suggestion? God chooses this baby's name because this name explains why the child has come. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so right in the middle of the mess, Jesus comes, God sends a rescuer. I wonder when you hear the word rescue, what comes to mind? You might think of a firefighter pulling someone out of a burning building, or a lifeboat rescuing someone from the sea, or a mountain rescue team finding someone who's lost in the mountains. In all of those situations, rescue means that someone is in real danger and that they can't save themselves. They need someone to come to them. And that's what the angel is telling Joseph. God is carrying out a rescue mission. And notice what kind of rescue this is. The angel doesn't say Jesus will save people from awkward situations at Christmas, or difficult relatives, or disappointing presents. He doesn't say Jesus will save his people from Rome, or from hardship, or from financial troubles, or illness. Even though Jesus will one day deal with all of those things, the angel says Jesus will save his people from their sins. Sin isn't just the bad things that we say or think or do, though it includes those. Sin is what happens when we push God out of the center of our lives and we put ourselves there instead. It's our tendency to trust ourselves more than God and to love things more than him. That's why the world is such a mess. And it's why we are often such a mess too. The Bible is really, really honest about that. That the problem isn't just out there. It runs through every human heart. Mine, yours, Joseph's, Mary's. And here's the astonishing thing. When God looks at that mess and in the mess in our hearts, he doesn't turn away. He sends a rescuer. Jesus doesn't come to tidy things up from the outside. He comes to deal with the problem at the deepest level. He rescues by giving his life. He rescues by going to the cross. He rescues by taking our sin on himself and taking the punishment that we deserve for our sins so that we could be forgiven and brought back to God. He comes to do for us that which we could never do for ourselves. That's why his name, Jesus, matters so much. It's a promise that's been kept. It's God saying, I have not left you alone in the mess. I've come to save. And for Joseph, this changes everything. But I wondered if you noticed in our reading, there's still one more name. Matthew tells us that all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. And it's right there again in verse 23. They will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So I come to my bag with the Christmas meaning again. Here's the other name, Emmanuel. God comes near. This is the most amazing part, I think. Not God watching from a distance, not God shaking his head in disappointment going, bad. But rather God with us, that the rescuer doesn't stay far away, God comes close. And that's what Christmas is really about. And it should make us stop and go, wow. Earlier we sang some really fun words to Away in a Manger. Maybe they were new to you. And we sang that the God who created the stars chose to lie beneath them in a manger. The God who upholds the universe, choosing to be held by his mom. That the creator entered into creation. The author wrote himself into the story. The king stepped down into the mess, not because he had to, but because he loved. And this wasn't a last-minute idea. God promised long before that he would come, that he would rescue his people, and that he would dwell with them again. And now that promise has a name, Emmanuel. What I think is really cool is that God doesn't just come for a little bit. He comes to stay. At the very end of Matthew's gospel, and maybe you can read it at home later, after Jesus has lived and died and risen again, he says to his disciples, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end." It's the same promise, Emmanuel at the beginning, Emmanuel at the end. And in between, Jesus sends his people out. God is with us, Emmanuel. God comes near so that we are never alone. God is with us so that we are never afraid. But God is also with us so that we can tell others about the rescuer he has sent. That's part of the joy of Christmas. Good news is meant to be shared. And at Christmas, we tell people about a God who didn't stay far away. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And because he is with us, we can live for him and trust him and speak about him, not nervously or reluctantly, but joyfully, because the rescuer has come and he is still with us today. I want us to notice one last thing. What does Joseph do at the end of our reading? Well, Joseph wakes up and he does what the angel told him to do. He takes Mary as his wife. He names the child Jesus. Joseph doesn't make a speech. He doesn't ask for more explanations. He trusts God enough to obey him. And that obedience is going to cost him. People are going to misunderstand. There'll be awkward looks and quiet conversations. His life will not suddenly become easier. But Joseph has understood something vital. God is at work. God has come near. And this child is worth trusting with his whole life. And that's where Matthew leaves us. And this is what Christmas is really about. When everything looked like a mess, God sent a rescuer. He came close himself. And for those of us who already trust Jesus, that's the call of Christmas too. Because Jesus has come close, we can trust him even when life feels confusing. Because God has come close, we can obey him even when it costs us something. And because God has come close, we can speak about him, not nervously or reluctantly, but joyfully. And if you're not sure what you make of Jesus, Christmas invites you to consider him, not just as a tradition or as a story, but as the rescuer God has sent us, as the God who has come close. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is the rescuer who saves us from our sin. And Jesus is the one who came close when everything looked like a mess. I hope you'll remember that. Why don't we pray? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that when everything looked like a mess, you did not stay far away. You sent your Son, Jesus, to rescue us from our sin and to be God with us. Thank you that Jesus came close into our world, into our brokenness, into our lives. Thank you that through his life, death, and resurrection, we can be forgiven and brought back to you. Help us to trust him, even when things are confusing. Help us to obey you when it costs us something. And help us to speak joyfully about Jesus, the rescuer you have sent. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Emmanuel. Amen.